This is Katie and Kay, Carbondale Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. It is 4 p.m. on a Thursday, which means it's time again for Everything Under the Sun, your weekly radio show all about the Sopra Sun, where we take stories from each week's newspaper and we bring them to life on the airwaves. This week, we're going to be speaking about a story that was actually published last week about Vaughn Schaefer, who is a blacksmith here in the valley, and so much more. We'll learn about that as we go through our conversation. Also joining me in the studio, we have Arthur Charrett. Hi, Arthur.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us again. And Betsy Welch, who is the reporter who wrote the article. Is it your first time on the radio, Betsy?
It is my first time on the radio, and as a huge KDNK and community radio fan, I am so excited.
We are so excited to have you here in the studio. So excited to have you, Vaughn. Welcome.
Thank you for having me today.
Have you been on the KDNK airwaves before?
Never have.
Wow. It is about time that we got you.
Something new for me.
So the impetus for this article was a film that we will be seeing at the Wheeler sometime in January or February. We don't quite know the date yet. But it's a documentary about the new sport of drag board racing. So, Vaughn, why don't you tell us what the heck is a drag board?
A drag board is it's a skateboard that's got a gas motor on it. And it ain't just your ordinary gas motor. I've built three of them through my career. And this last one I've had a lot of help with my sponsorship. And this particular board, we've got a little over 40,000 into it. It's got a 300cc fuel-injected motor on the back, KTM, which was part of our sponsorship. Uh-huh. And we put this thing together. It took us about a year and a half, and with a lot of complications, a lot of just pulling hair and getting this thing dialed in to where it was able to run proper and steer and, you know, have complete control of. And I'm just now scratching the surface of this thing.
What's the turning radius like on a drag board like that?
Well, I started doing the drag boarding 30-some years ago with NHRA and Super Chevy, and I traveled with them. And back then, I only had a little 125 motor on it, and I was running 60 to 74 miles an hour in a quarter mile from a dead stop. And drag boarding is now going to become a new drag racing industry, being the pioneer and the grandfather of it. And I've got a gentleman that works with me, Travis Tripp. He's got his board done. And this summer, him and I were able to do team racing head-to-head. And the crowd went nuts. So this coming year, we may have a show January 3rd in Tucson that we'll be going to. But my sponsors are wanting me to take it easy until the documentary's done, so I'm around to be a part of There's a lot of concern, family and friends, concerned that I'm just not going to give it up.
Mm-hmm.
And it may bite me in the rear one day, and that's fine.
And you're 63.
I'm 63. And getting ready to turn 64 here soon.
Mm-hmm.
It's only a number.
No, only a number. You're proving it.
Yeah.
So, on the note of not really giving it up, can you tell us a little bit about how you got to where you are now and what really inspired you to go down this path?
I grew up in Indiana, Southwestern High School, and I did graduate. They pretty much kicked me out. They just wanted me to move on because I was a little hellion. And I built my first skateboard in a woodworking shop. And from there, I did a couple other ones, and I got into doing my freestyle. And the skateboarding has taken me along a lot of places in the world. In 1982, right after I graduated in 80, I got accepted. Our government hired me as a entertainer and shipped me over to the World's Fair in Sevilla, Spain.
Whoa.
For a month. And that was a big deal. I did three shows a day inside the United States Pavilion. And
with the skateboard.
With the skateboard.
Like doing tricks or?
Oh, doing handstand, freestyle, high jump, long jump, Daffy, double board handstands. I mean, I've got video and shows, you know, from there and other places throughout the country. But I was a one-man show, and it was an hour show. I'd pull kids out of the crowd and use them for laying down, jumping over them to all kinds of different things. And it was a big deal. And on the way back, when I was done, my agent had me hooked up with the David Letterman show. I was going to be on the David Letterman show. And it didn't work out well with the video clip that I sent to him. It wasn't the right one.
Oh. Do you know what clip you sent?
Oh. Is it appropriate? Not appropriate.
Our entertainment when we were there was pretty exciting, I'll say, and I'll just leave it at that.
Betsy, I have a question for you. As a reporter, was it a challenge to fit into less than 1,200 words this man's, a few of his stories, and choosing which stories to highlight?
Absolutely. I think you could ask James, and we had a little bit of back and forth trying to trim it, but I think along those lines, one of the things that's so fascinating about Vaughn is you can talk to him about his skateboarding life, and you know, I didn't know about the World's Fair, or maybe I'd forgotten, and you can talk about the stunt man time of his life, and now into the drag boarding, and you could think like that's a full life in itself. How would anyone have time for anything else? But the crazy thing is as long as he's been skateboarding and doing stunts, he's been a blacksmith. And so I found that fascinating during our interview. It was like we were having two interviews, one about being a lifelong blacksmith and one about being this adrenaline junkie skateboarding, drag boarding pioneer. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think in this conversation today, I hope we talk, you know, equally about the blacksmithing part of Vaughn's life, because as he told me, they're very interconnected, right?
Yes.
You wouldn't be one person without that other part of...
No, yeah. No. It's, they're both a very big part of my life, mm-hmm. You know. I wanted to always be a stuntman, an actor in Hollywood, and my family kind of put that down. But I learned my blacksmithing through my dad and the family, and it's been a big part of our bloodline. Mm-hmm. And to be able to carry that on, the tradition of it, and bring it out here and make a lot of money with it. the clientele's unbelievable.
And it supports some of the other things you like to do, I
And
imagine.
It supports, you know, anything from skydiving to helping with my skateboarding, you know, mm-hmm. whatever, my snowboarding in the winter. I keep pretty active.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think being struck by lightning has something to do with the energy that you feel?
Twice.
I have been. Yeah. Okay.
I believe so. Mm-hmm. The connection I have with the good Lord mm-hmm. and my God, he's got me here for a reason, and that's to leave a footprint for this next generation, to mm-hmm. believe in your dreams, have passion, persistence, and prayer. All things are possible. And I want to encourage the young kids in the next generation and be an example mm-hmm. of what can actually be done.
If you could go back and talk to younger you, what is the best advice you think that you could give not only to you, but also upcoming generations along that line?
This next generation, mm-hmm. I think, we've lost a lot of love for our families. We've all become the generation that we're talking about. The kids have been a lot more separated with their families. You know, there's just been a lot more divorce, the cell phones, you know. Stay connected to your mom and dad. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that got you here. Mm-hmm. And at some point, you may end up having to take care of them as they took care of you. And I think just having the love, having God in your life is very important. He is someone that you can talk to every day if no one ever wants to listen to you. He's always there. That's become a big part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Vaughn, did you skate today? I'm curious.
Did I what?
Did you go out for a skate today?
Oh, the weather. I got about 6 inches of snow at the shop. But this Saturday, it's looking like we might be able to get out and do some terrorizing in El Jebel.
Yeah, I was thinking of that because it's pretty nice out. And yeah. When I was at your shop, you showed me not the board, but then you have just sort of the regular
electric skateboards, which is something new in the industry.
Right.
These things are amazing. You can charge them up and get 50 miles out of a charge, and they go from 40 to 60 miles an hour. And Travis and I had gotten ours back late June, July, 1st of July. And we've got over 400, 500 miles on these things.
Just ripping around El Jebel on the lunch break or afterward.
Yeah. We've thought the cops would have given us a hard time. But we try and follow the same rules as an electric bike or a bicyclist. Mm-hmm. But a lot of safety gear I wear. And the last time I was on it was the Saturday after Thanksgiving. And I went out by myself. And it had been 4 months, 5 months since I'd had any kind of a digger. And it ate me for lunch that day.
Oh, man.
I got up, and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm fine. And so I put on a few more miles and went back to shop and called it good for the day.
That's always a good feeling after a crash when you check yourself and you're like, oh, wow, I'm okay.
Yeah, and that's, you know, the reason why I still get to do it today is the safety gear. Mm-hmm. You know, nowadays you see kids on their bicycles and not wearing wrist guards, knee pads, elbow pads, helmets. It's just, you know, it's gotten me to where I am today by doing that. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to do kid shows. I was called Captain Safety. And I'd go on TV kid shows and talk about the safety gear, wear it, you know. And, you know, the kids nowadays think that it looks stupid. And they did back then, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm here, and mm-hmm. I'm in good shape, and I can still skate.
Mm-hmm. And you look cool.
And I think you look cool.
Betty, what is the most surprising thing that you learned while writing this article?
That's a great question.
I want to hear this.
Gosh, I'm trying to rifle through my mental notes. You know, I think, as Vaughn said, he's 63, and, you know, he just was speaking about safety mm-hmm. and how important that is and how it's always been important to him. Although I think, you know, arguably people could say, you're nuts, you're old, like why are you still doing this? You know, you're operating this crazy skateboard that goes 80 miles per hour. You know, one of the questions I had for Vaughn was like, well, how do you train? And, you know, are you in the gym a lot? You know, you become less durable as you age. And I think one of the things that surprised me is, yeah, he trains. Like he said, he rides this e-skateboard around and tries to watch what he eats and drinks. But it was more of just a, like, this is what I do. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to keep doing it. And, yes, I'm getting older. And, you know, sure, there are many excuses, but this is kind of why I'm here. This is what I've always done, and I don't see any reason to stop. And, you know, that struck me. Not everyone operates that way. I think mm-hmm. it's easy to say I can't do something because of all of these reasons, and I think society can reinforce that, but this guy clearly marches to the beat of his own drum in many regards, and yeah, that's a fun and unique take on life, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any response to that, Vaughn?
Did I get it right?
Yeah, I think you did really well there, Betsy.
I really loved the introduction to the story that's describing this birthday party and how
you used to take
canoes down the driveway up Missouri Heights.
two and a half miles up in my neck of the woods, I'll call it. And we started out collecting Red Flyer sleds. And right now I've got over 32, 35 of them. But in the beginning, we started out with river canoes, and we'd put four of us in a river canoe 2.5 miles down a mountain with 13 switchbacks. And there was one, and we do it at night. We do it at night, so if a car's coming up of a neighbor or somebody, we can slow down and get off to the side of the road. But this night, we'd all had a little juice for, you know, the fuel. And we got to going, and there was a section through there where we were hitting around 45, 48 miles an hour. And a car was coming up, and the boys were like, they were hollering at me, and I'm up in front with my paddle. And we all had paddles, and that's how you controlled and slowed and stopped. And they're like, we got to pull over. I'm like, oh, no, hell no, let's keep going. We passed that car, and it was the Garfield County Sheriff. And he had us clocked at 45 miles an hour going down our drive.
In a canoe.
He turned around, and he caught us now at the bottom. And he got out, and he's like, boys, boys, boys. What are you doing? And we're like, just going for a cruise. And he's like, I got you going 45 miles an hour on my radar. I can't write you a ticket. They'll think I'm nuts.
I love that he pulled his radar out.
He did.
Right. How fast is that thing going?
Yeah. I can picture sparks, you know, for sparks flying off the... Well, I guess
it was fiberglass underneath him. It was slick. It was moving.
That might have been another world record.
It could have been. But we've had a lot of fun up on the mountain. It's kind of a traditional thing I do in the middle of January.
Cool.
And bring in friends and family. Mm-hmm. I want to try and get Betsy to come up.
Oh, Betsy, you can't turn that down.
Yeah, Betsy will be standing around the bonfire with a hot cocoa.
Yeah. We've got plenty of Red Flyer sleds. You know, we'll get 20, 25 guys at a time going down.
Wow.
It's like the Daytona 500. And there's a lot of carnage. I mean, a lot of crashes. I've broken my nose, fingers, ribs. It's just part of it.
Part of the fun.
It is.
I mean, speaking of not broken noses or crashes, but I think it would be cool to try and describe for people what a drag boarding, like what a drag boarding effort or race looks like. What does it look like? What did it look like when you set the record? Or what will it look like when this is an official sport and you're going to a drag boarding race? Are we on, you know, I'm picturing, are we on like a track that cars race on?
Yep.
Is it a straightaway? Are there turns? Is it multiple laps? Can you just kind of paint the picture of what this looks like and or will look like in the future?
Yeah. You know, they've got all different types of drag racing with, you know, dragsters, funny cars, jet cars and all that. Motorcycles, you know. All I've done was just put a bigger motor on the back end of this thing. It's got like go-kart tires on the back, which when you take off in a quarter-mile track, you do a burnout. That way your tires don't slip on you when you take off from the line, which would be really bad on a skateboard.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to make sure your tires are heated up. And it's from a dead stop. You got, they call it the tree that's in front of you, and it's got the red, the yellow, the green light. And when that thing, when you get lined up and it turns yellow, then from there it has a certain sequence that it comes down. And when that turns green, you're off of that line as quick as you can be. And you've got that quarter mile to run it in. And right now my board, I've only had it in fifth gear. And I'm running 86 miles an hour in a quarter. And this coming year, with a few more little adjustments with the gear ratio, if I'm able to get this thing into sixth gear within that quarter, there's no reason Travis and I, well, one of us is going to be hitting 100 miles an hour on it.
What does that feel like?
It's one of the best drugs the body can ever produce. I swear, there's times I've done shows. I did, well, I'll keep it short, but I did a show in Grand Junction with the Thunderbirds, the air show that they have every year. Mm-hmm. My first show I got to do with the Thunderbirds, I got to meet the whole crew the night before practice, which was Friday. And they thought I was nuts. They're like, and these guys are nuts. They go 700-800 miles an hour upside down, right? So I got to be good friends with them. So Friday, they went out and did their routine. I was called out next to go out and do my first run on an airstrip to where I was just going to open this thing up and see what it was going to do. I took off, and less than an eighth of a mile, I'm looking down the track, and I'm like, what is going on? There was something across the track. And just like on an aircraft carrier, they got the restorator cable, 2-inch cable.
Oh, shoot.
They forgot to take it down.
Yikes.
After the Thunderbirds came in. I had no brakes. And I just said, I took my front foot out of the hook, and my back foot was just free, you know, stanced up against the motor on a platform. And I decided just to punch it, and I hit that cable. 74, 75 miles an hour, totaled the board. I slid the length of a football field. I got up, the emergency crew came over, and I'm standing out in the middle of the track going, what just happened? Mm-hmm. But I was vibrating. I was just standing there, and everybody's like, lay down, lay down. I'm like, don't touch me. Mm-hmm. I said, let me enjoy this. It took a week for that adrenaline to come. I mean, it was one of the biggest highs I'd ever had.
Oh, my God.
And I consider it the fountain of youth, mm-hmm. adrenaline. Okay. That's what we were going to call the documentary, but with mm-hmm. how it worked out, it worked out better, driven by angels. Mm-hmm. But, you know, adrenaline. Adrenaline is the fountain of youth.
I just want to call attention to, we have 5 minutes left in our show today. I'm sure we could fill many shows speaking with you, Vaughn. I did want to shout out to Paula Wood for her amazing photography and the
yes.
story.
Wonderful job. She's done very well with her photography. She's going big places.
Yeah, we love Paula.
Yeah.
And also give you the opportunity to talk about an upcoming TV show this month that you're a part of, Vaughn.
For everybody in the Valley, Chip and Joanne, they have their own TV show called Fixer Upper. They're out of Waco, Texas. They have Waco Network. And they bought a house in Woody Creek. And the first episode was last week on the 9th, the 16th of this month, and the 23rd. Travis and I will have a lot of time in the documentary and anything that you see on this new home that everybody helped them out with. Anything metal is our doings.
How do people get in touch with you if they're interested in your metal work?
Word of mouth. Mm-hmm. I've been in El Jebel for 38 years, mm-hmm. and I've never really advertised. Word of mouth.
But if someone listening wanted to get in touch, could they just look you up? What's the name of it?
Vaughn Schaefer, blacksmithing.
Perfect.
If you go anywhere in the Valley and ask somebody, hey, do you know this character? They're like, oh, yeah. Yeah, he's an El Jebel. Cool.
And speaking of that, could you just tell listeners what are some of your pieces, your work, that they have probably seen hundreds of times and may not have known it was you? What are some of your most iconic public works in the Valley?
I would say probably a couple of them right off the bat is what I had been doing, and El Jebel, the Crawfords, have helped me out. The El Jebel sign, anything in El Jebel, the elk skull that's on top of the sign, mm-hmm. all hand-forged. The elk in the roundabout, which has a big story behind it. When I did those, the bull elk has 11 time capsules inside it. Wow. And 45 years from now, the Crawfords' grandkids will open it up. I don't think I'll be here.
Mm-hmm. Who knows?
No.
Adrenaline.
Yeah. I just wish I could bottle that stuff.
Whoa, there's time capsules in that elk?
Yeah, 11 of them.
Whoa.
Yeah. Whoa. Aspen Times did a story on it. And because we had the fire back four mm-hmm. or 5 years ago, then I asked the whole community in the valley to come by and drop something off at my shop. And I had 11 different sauna tubes that were 8-inch round. And every one of them was filled. And I had my own personal one. And when they opened that one, I wish I'd be around to see that.
You'll make the news again.
I'll make the news again, probably.
So, well, I want to thank you, Arthur and Betsy, for joining us to host today's show. And we do have about 3 minutes left, so or two. Anything that you want to end us with, Vaughn? Or
go ahead,
Arthur,
Betsy,
if you have another question.
I can't think. What is probably the most insane stunt that you have done in your career? Yeah.
Most insane stunt.
I set my first world record back in 1989. I was jumping cars.
Oh, boy.
And I got hired in Branson, Missouri, and I did a four-car jump, non-motorized.
Ooh. On what?
On a skateboard.
On a skateboard.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wicked.
Yeah, I jumped three Ferraris and a Porsche.
Oh, wow.
And that was the first record. But then they sent me out to Universal Studios for the Spectacular World of Guinness. Mm-hmm. And I did a five-car jump. Walked away with 10 grand that day.
Ooh,
wow. And that was a big day. And that was a lot.
Mm-hmm. And that was your first world record?
That was my first world record.
Thank the five-car jump.
Yeah.
Right.
I went 32 feet, 9 inches. I jumped over 5 Chrysler LeBarons, brand new.
Cool.
Thank you so much for telling us all these great stories.
There's a lot of them.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you guys for having
me. We'll have to have you back.
Yeah. Thank you, Betsy, for writing the story. If you haven't read it, go read it. It's wonderful.
Yes.
And thank you, Raleigh, for being here, per usual.
Betsy, you've done a wonderful job. Thank you very much.
Thank you guys for having me.
Thanks, guys.
I wish everyone out there a happy holiday. Merry Christmas.